The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Got to say, Parky, have you tried the chips and gravy yet?
The chips and gravy? Oh, yeah. On all the replays.
That's all I keep thinking about. Chips and gravy.
And it's $2.50.
So you can't get them over there, though, because we have sterling, not Australian dollars. How much is that in our money?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
$2.50. How much? £1.50?
Not sure the exchange rate these days. It's not as good as it used to be. What, is it £2 or something?
That's why we can't get any good players over here now. That's the way, isn't it? Welcome to the Final Hooter with the LoveRugbyLeague.com podcast with myself, Dave Parkinson, Mr. Adrian Jackson, and joined by a very special guest, Mr. John Lawless.
I like the Mr. bit.
Yeah, I've got an old formal.
Very official.
Very formal. And I've got to say something as well, that it's nice to see John in more professional surroundings, because every time we spoke to him,
he's in the pub.
Yeah. I was misinformed about tonight's show. I thought that's where we were going again. I wouldn't have come otherwise. But seeing as I'm here, I may as well join in.
John normally keeps up with the old image of journalists that do the work in the pub. This time we brought him into the studio. He writes for the Liverpool Echo and commentates on Radio Merseyside. Welcome to the big show, Mr. Lawless.
Delighted to be here in this World Cup year. It's good to be around. And I've been enjoying the tournament so far and hoping it's going to get a bit better as well as we go into the knockout stages in a week or two's time.
Still strange how we're still talking about this season with the World Cup going on to December and the guys in Super League are already back in pre-season.
I know, there's something quite odd about that.
Weird, isn't it?
It is, yeah. They've all gone back, they've all had to de-ice the cars in the last couple of days to get out there, back on the training field.
And Warrington unveiling the head coach and assistant coach as well.
Yeah, nice to see them both in place now. And obviously, Warrington, after such a poor season by their standards last year, will be looking to kick on this year, won't they?
It's the sort of thing that gives the fans hope, doesn't it? I mean, after last year, there was a lot of doom and gloom. No one expected Warrington to be in the qualifiers, but they came through that pretty handy, really, didn't they? But the change they've made, I'm sure that Warrington fans will be really looking forward to the new season. And as Adrian mentioned earlier, it's not just the two coaches. A raft of signings always doesn't go amiss either. Either does it, so we'll see how Warrington do in 2018.
How young are then too?
Oh, very young.
It's not the Steve Price I thought it was. He's a lot younger than the one I was thinking of.
Which one were you thinking of?
I was thinking the one who used to play rugby league for Australia.
Yeah, the Canterbury Bulldogs one, yeah. So for a second I was with you on that, Adrian, yeah. But then I knew you'd carry on.
There's obviously two Steve Prices knocking around in Australia.
Yeah. I think there's more than two Steve Prices knocking around in Australia. Are they sure they've actually got a rugby league coach?
Yeah.
I saw the TV footage when Warrington unveiled him, and they certainly spoke a lot longer than what Wayne Bennett did on Saturday.
Oh, Wayne. Don't you love
him? Wayne's World.
Party time, excellent.
I have to say, I laughed out loud when I saw the interview. I did feel sorry for Dave Woods of the BBC, who was doing the interview. I'm glad I wasn't in his shoes at that particular moment. But I laughed out loud because he wouldn't do it if we were all the same, would it? But one-word answers from Wayne Bennett, it did amuse me in a kind of jaundiced sort of way.
I did feel sorry for Dave. You could hear the cogs turning as he signs a finger questions.
To actually get something out of him.
Because what did he open it up with? What was the word?
How would you describe that performance, wasn't it, the question? Yeah. The answer was mixed.
Mixed.
And the next question was, what were the good parts about it? And he said, the win. And that was it. So that sort of set
like
the tone for it.
There's a certain amount of honesty about that, because fans looking at that also think they're very the same, aren't they? Because in total, in that game, England only played for about 20 minutes.
I thought we were rubbish.
Yeah, they didn't really do much, did they?
We started brightly, I thought, and bombed a couple of early chances, and that maybe set the tone when we didn't really put them to the sword in the way we might have done. Second half, nothing happened really, did it? It was very poor from England. One try in the whole of the second half against a side that a side of England's supposed quality should be putting away a bit more comfortably than that. But, you know, this is all going to boil down to one or two big games, isn't it, this World Cup, and England are going to have to rise to the occasion when they come around.
Controversy off the field as well. A couple of Scotland players being sent home.
That's they're the party country, aren't they, this World Cup?
Yeah, who's the other guy? The French guy's being sent.
Elwar Plessy are getting sent home.
Being sent home. Yeah. Italian players fighting amongst themselves.
Oh, they're all having a party, aren't they? They're having a right shindig over in Australia and New Zealand.
When I saw Danny Brough and Johnny Walker mentioned, I presume that's what Brough had been drinking. But Yeah, it's a poor show, isn't it? And it's not gone. Yeah. Nothing's gone right for Scotland in this World Cup. But we all know what Scotland's biggest disaster has been in this World Cup, don't we?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm looking, and it's got to be that. It's got to be that big defeat, hasn't it?
No. It's definitely the shorts.
The shorts.
It's the shorts.
We're from in 2013. What's the difference?
It's a diabolical pair of shorts that they were in this World Cup. They look like a load of Scottish tourists who are going down the beach to me, rather than rugby league players. They're just absolutely. And I'm somebody who doesn't care about kits at all, but I have to say, as soon as I saw them, I thought, no, you can't play rugby in those. And it proved to be the case.
New Zealand were pretty good, though.
Oh, I thought they were awesome.
Despite the fact that part of Scotland weren't that great.
I saw a stat heading into the end of the first half, which said that they've managed to offload the ball 33 times in one half of rugby, which is just tremendous.
Unreal, that, isn't it?
So much support flooding through the middle, and such an enterprising attack.
People were predicting New Zealand to struggle a little bit, weren't they, in relative terms before this World Cup, because of the players who've defected to other countries, the couple they've got missing because of off the field stuff that's seen them banned from playing. But so far against Samoa and against Scotland, they've looked pretty handy, haven't they? I think something for England to look out for, perhaps down the track.
It took them quite a while to get rid of Samoa, didn't it? Because they put a good performance against them, but Scotland, they were never in that game, were they?
Like Wales weren't against PNG.
Well, interesting stats, as you know, I like my stats, Adrian.
Oh, yes, go on.
Yeah, well, in that game...
Should we give you a drum roll?
Go on. That's good as anything.
That's good.
It's good as anything, that.
All right.
In that first stat, in the back line, Fiji made more metres than the entire Welsh international
team. You can see where Yeastonaris is coming from then when he criticised them for the lack of passion.
He shouldn't be criticising anybody. What did they do under him?
All right, they didn't win the game in 2013.
To be fair, they've got some handy lads in that Fiji back line, haven't they? In Hayne and Uarte and people like that. And I think those yard, I know you love your stats, Parky, but those yardage things, I mean, a couple of them might be 290 metre runs, most of those yardage in such a big win. But Fiji look handy. Bit difficult to tell what they're like really at the moment, though, isn't it? Because they've had two blowout wins against two not great sides in Wales and the USA. Italy might give them a bit of a stronger test this weekend, we'll see.
Just indulge me, John. Just indulge me. Anything to do with stats, just okay. Indulge me.
That's sorry fine. About that. I'm sure it was all drives up the middle by those wingers and fullbacks.
Well, there was one particular run, I think it was Uarte made it, didn't he, for one of the tries, and he beat eight players or nine players on the weaving run, which I've not seen that in ages.
You know the best action I liked over the weekend, the week two of the World Cup?
Go on.
The showdown before the game between Tonga and Samoa.
Oh, fantastic. The two...
Two hackers going head-to-head.
Yeah, was it the...
What
are they officially called?
I don't know the names of them, individual ones, but they call them the cultural challenges. I think the politically correct way of saying these things. The two cultural challenges. Yeah, that was something else, wasn't it, in that game? And they certainly went at each other when the Hooters started the game as well.
They certainly did, didn't they? That's probably the best match of the weekend.
It was the best match and the biggest crowd of the weekend as well, to be fair, because there was like over 18,000 there at the Waikato Stadium in Hamilton.
Funny you should mention crowds. How bad is that? Australia in Canberra, and you get less than 13,000 for an international.
Only half full that ground, because it holds about 25,000,
exactly.
Doesn't it?
I imagine Canberra get more than that in an NRL game.
And what about only 10,000 in Sydney as well for the England and Lebanon game? That's
great.
Disappointing.
They have been disappointing, the crowds. Let's hope they pick up when the serious stuff starts. And I don't mean that disparagingly towards the group stages, but I think we've been pretty much nailed on, at least with many of the teams that are going to come through. Hopefully when we get to the quarterfinals and it's knockout rugby, do or die, we'll have an improvement. But I've still enjoyed the games, despite perhaps a slight lack of atmosphere at one or two of them.
We were talking on the way in, John, we were on about the attitude of International Rugby League amongst the Australian Rugby League public. And basically, we said State of Origin's top of their interest, then the NRL, then it's International Rugby League level three.
I asked this question, actually, on the Love Rugby League Facebook page about the crowds, and they said that in Sydney, they're particularly struggling, even at club level at the moment, where nobody's really turning up to watch the club games.
Right.
So I suppose if you can't get them watching...
Why is that, then?
I don't know. If you can't get them watching the club games, how are you going to get them watching international?
But we're always getting told it's such a superior sport in Australia compared to over here.
maybe people are just want to watch armchair rugby now. They're all on telly, don't forget, in Australia. Every game's televised. Every game's Australian game's televised over here. So maybe that's got something to do with it. Who knows? There's always people coming out and saying that marketing's the key. And I've yet to meet this marketing guru who can actually sort this particular problem out once and for all. Apparently, it's only after the event that we say, oh, that's what works. So I suspect that no one knows all the answers.
Hindsight's always 20/20, isn't it, John?
It is indeed, yep.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
OK then, Parky, week two of the Rugby World Cup is done and dusted. Who won what?
Well, of course, we saw Australia defeat France 52-6, although France had the highlight of the tournament with that 90-metre sprint
great
from
try.
Mark Carella.
The fullback enjoyed it.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? But he's Australian, isn't he? So. He's bound to have enjoyed playing against Australia there. Also in Pool A, we had England 29-11-10. We've also talked a little bit about that. In Pool B, New Zealand had their massive 74-6 victory against Scotland. Tonga defeated Samoa 32-18. In Group C, the only game in that pool this week, it was Papua New Guinea 14, Ireland 6. Again, played before a sellout crowd.
A sellout crowd, yeah. Me and you were talking, weren't we, John? Why haven't they been given a quarter-final spot?
Yeah, I think England will be glad they haven't been given a quarter-final spot because it looks like England will be playing PNG in the quarter-finals. But I think if they're going to be the co-host, they should have given them a quarter-final spot. I know there was a possibility that they may not have made the quarter-finals. It now looks like they will. But so what? So two other teams will have to go there and play. You'll get an enthusiastic crowd, I suspect, either way. But I certainly think that it's a bit unfortunate that PNG don't have won't have a home game in what looks likely to be their last eight match.
How exciting is watching PNG being?
It's been great.
It's been great, hasn't it? Yeah.
I've been really, really impressed with them. And yeah, they make a lot of mistakes, but most of that is, I call them positive errors, because they're actually trying to launch attacks. And Gary Lowe, Castleford fans will be watching that World Cup thinking, blimey, we've got a right player here.
Seen an interesting quote on social media there from Sheffield Eagles, as he was there, wasn't he, for a bit. And they turned around and said, people have been questioning how are they going to tackle Gary Lowe and how great he is. And they said, well, we've known what he's like for 2 years.
Exactly, yeah. It's not been any great secret. He has been playing his trade over here, hasn't he?
Get your money on him for top Super League try scorer next year. If you play on the wing for cash, you're usually the top blue Super League try scorer, aren't you? So Gary Lowe for that next year, I would suspect. I'm not the first to think that. But yeah, he's looked very good. And PNG have lit up the tournament to some degree, haven't they? I will say, though, Parky, that as you mentioned, there was a lot of errors in that game against Ireland. Mm-hmm. And England will take some sucker from that, because they're going to probably play PNG, and they should be expecting to get past them in Melbourne, the cooler climes of Melbourne, which is where that quarter final will be.
Yeah, and again, another sellout crowd there. We've already spoken about the noise that stadium produces, because I'll tell you what, again, at certain points you couldn't hear the commentary team.
We had a great Ray French on the phone last week, didn't we? And he was saying when he was over there, people used to walk out the jungle for like 3-4 days to get to the ground. So you can imagine the passion there weekend.
It does look a little bit more modern, this stadium now, have to say. You know, it's not like people hanging out of palm trees and stuff, which may have happened in the past.
My advice to any player who's on the winning side in Papua New Guinea, if you get to the last minute of the game, is get near the tunnel. That'll be my advice. Get near the tunnel. Finish near the tunnel when the hooter goes. That's my advice.
The only other two games that we haven't mentioned was in Group D, Italy 46, USA 0. Again, Italy making that light work, really, of the Americans.
Yeah, I've been disappointed with the Americans this time round.
They've not really got anybody, though, with any great experience, have they? Okay, they've got Pettibone and they've got Shipway, but other than that, there's not a lot there, really.
No, they're one of the whipping boys of the competition, aren't they? And I'm afraid they're in a bit of trouble this weekend, because they go into Port Moresby and they're going to come away from there with nothing but bruises, I'm afraid.
No, especially the way they fly in. Mm. I think the interesting thing as well from this World Cup, though, is the fact that they've named a lot of homegrown players
this
time round, haven't they? Okay, there's the fella that signed at Hull as well, Barita. I think I'm right. Might be right.
Is he Mexican? Barito.
Oh, you never know.
Barita Faramo, isn't it? That's his name.
Barita Faramo. That's him. Yeah. I'm glad you did your homework, John.
I know the Irish went down against PNG, but I've been quite impressed with the commitment the Irish boys.
Yeah, there's been a real zest amongst them, hasn't there? A real want to impress, and I think I think a lot of that has come from Hooker. Michael McLaurin has always been one of these players that I've rated.
He's a feisty character, isn't he?
Yeah, but he has the fight of the Irish in him, doesn't he? Mm.
They look like a team, the Irish, I think. The spirit in the team has been great. Look, if Louis McCarthy Scarsbrook grounds that kick, I think it was from Liam Finn, under the post, Ireland probably win that game, and they're set up then for playing England in the quarter-final. So that's credit to Ireland. Pity for them that they're now probably almost certainly not going to make it, but they weren't that far off.
A team that was miles off was Wales, 72-6 against.
It's painful even saying it a couple of days later, isn't it? If you're Welsh, you've not got much pride in that team at the minute.
Yeah, they've not been good. It doesn't look a strong side, actually. On paper, does it? I mean, there's not an awful lot of top flight experience in that side. It was always going to be tough for them. By the way, they've played in Port Moresby and then Townsville.
Two of the hottest places on earth.
Yeah, I mean, really hot conditions against two good sides in Papua New Guinea and Fiji, who would relish those conditions in a way that the Wales would hate them. So I'm not completely surprised that they've had a couple of tonkins, but obviously the numbers we're talking about makes it particularly disappointing.
One thing I like about Fiji, they have to sing song before it, don't they?
They do.
And then after the game, they might smash you off the field, but they get the opposition to sit around with them in the circle and pray to God.
Again, it's that cultural mix, isn't it? You know, which is fantastic to see. And I remember him from the World Cup in 1995, and they actually had their own version of similar to a cultural challenge, I think you coined it. And they seem to have ditched that in favour of this almost communal singing in the hymn.
Well, you can see in the Fiji boys, when the camera, if you're watching on the TV, when the camera goes along the Fiji boys before the start of the game, this matters, doesn't it, to them? You can see the pride they've got in the shirt and in the country. There was a few tears flowing, wasn't there, before the game, the last game. So this matters to them, and that's good to see.
As a Lather, you know, looking up and down that line.
Pasties?
No. You will hear me out here.
All right.
My dad would have said, he's striking him.
Striking.
All right, okay.
That was Naguama, the captain.
Greeting, right. The Scots would say, wouldn't they? He's greeting. There have been a lot of greeting Scots over this last couple of weeks.
But if you were the opposition player just being hammered off the field like Wales would, you wouldn't exactly have the nerve to say, no, I'm not joining in your little after-match prayer.
No. And to be fair, I mean, this is what the World Cup's all about, isn't it? It's about different cultural experiences. And even though, you know, we've already commented the fact that, you know, Wales are pretty poor, let's put it bluntly, Scotland are maybe not much better. Those players in those squads which will go away with memories for a lifetime, won't they?
Yeah, let's not be too harsh on Scotland, because look at the group they've been drawn in.
They
were officially the fourth seeds going into this Scotland, basically on that draw they got in the Four Nations in that terrible night in Workington last year. They were fourth seeds, they're in a group where three qualify. So Scotland, by the way, can still qualify. If they beat Samoa this week, Scotland qualify, believe it or not, after those two hammerings. So, you know, hope springs eternal, but without Brough and one or two others, that might be difficult. They're going to be very much second favourites. But they were put in a horrible group there. Tonga, New Zealand, Samoa, three super physical and decent sides with plenty of NRL experience. It was never going to be easy.
Just thinking about your culture, it's not a past, it's a lobby.
It is a lobby.
Is that what you do in the aftermatch, is it? Have a lobby?
Yeah, with a beetroot chaser.
Yeah. Did you beat you, but share us in the bowl of lobby?
Well, I'd be up for that.
All right,
okay. Have we not done that often enough when we've been after Widnes games?
And bowl of scouts, yeah.
I've been trying to pit your spirits up.
Yeah, have a bowl of scouts. Time for a competition, isn't it? Let's have our quiz.
Okay.
Right, tonight's Rugby World Cup quiz. Australia are the current world champions, but how many times have they won it?
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Right, Australia have won the World Cup 10 times.
10 times?
Yes.
I was struggling. I thought they'd won it more than that, to be honest.
No.
How many has there been? About 14, is it?
Yeah,
is the 14th or 15th World Cup?
Like
so
that, isn't it?
Basically, they usually win it.
They usually do.
They usually win
and it.
And it
looks like they're going to win it this year.
It certainly does.
Unless we can pick our game up, or even New Zealand.
Do you reckon we will?
There's room for improvement. I mean, they were saying it after the game on Saturday, there's room for improvement.
Look, it's going to come down to a couple of one-off games. Back in 2008, Australia looked invincible, didn't they? They beat New Zealand 30-10, I think, in the first game of the tournament, and New Zealand won the World Cup. Because it's always going to come down at the end of the day to one game. Now, Australia are going to be favourites for that game, whoever it ends up playing against, be it New Zealand, England, who knows, maybe Tonga, and Australia are going to be favourites, but it's going to come down to one game. And in one game, things can go wrong.
To be fair, you've just got to beat Australia once when it matters, haven't you?
Of course, that's what it comes down to. It's a bit like the Super League Grand Final, isn't it? You know, we all know that Castleford were the best side over the course of the season, but who were the champions?
Okay, they were going to say Australia, the team to beat. Where's the weakness?
What, the Australian weakness?
Yeah.
I don't think it's a star-studded aside and a great footballing side as some that they've had, but they're just so efficient, aren't they? All the forwards, I mean, many of them, I bet most English fans would struggle to name the forwards, but they all do the job. They don't make errors. They go forward. They don't miss tackles. You don't see any Australian players who miss tackles generally, do you? They don't carry any weaknesses in defence. They've got the Melbourne spine of Smith and Cronk and Slater, who all know each other's game inside out. They played together for a decade. I'm starting to talk into myself into saying now no one can beat them even in a one-off
no
game.
Weaknesses.
But they don't have any weaknesses, but they're not, you know, like the Invincibles, you know, of 82 or anything like that with the great footballers that they had. But they're just so efficient and they don't make mistakes.
I think one of the key areas where England need to improve is obviously the kicking game.
That's a bit obvious isn't it? Because we've not been able to kick the bandor out of a banjo, have we?
No, not being the best, has it? So if they're going to do anything against Australia or New Zealand, got to improve the kicking game, I think.
Does it not disappoint you again that we still don't know who our halfbacks are? Because we're halfway through a tournament and we're again naming different halfback pairings.
Who's this we? Are you including Wayne Bennett in that? Are you in his head? Look, it looks to me that he thinks...
He's set on Widdup.
At this moment in time,
Gale,
it looks like Widdup and Gale. But the problem is that Lomax has got an injury, hasn't he? We're expecting him to be fit for the quarterfinals, but we'll see. And will he be fit to go on beyond then? He looks like he prefers Lomax at fullback. It looks like he settled on Widdup and Gale. Perhaps Kevin Brown can put his hand up this weekend. But how much notice will Wayne Bennett take if, say, England run up 40, 50 points against France? Is that what gets you in a team? Wayne's got to be careful here, hasn't he? It's not just about playing well against France. He's got to make a personal judgment, and who better than him to make it, about what he wants. I think he's pretty much decided before the tournament what he wants. There might be just the odd position here or there, or the odd injury here or there that he's willing to compromise on.
I know he's being criticised about not a lot of backs, but it looks like he feels the best place to win a New Zealand or Australia to win the forward battle.
And is that just synonymous with Super League, though? Not enough backs? Is there not enough quality backs out there?
I think there's something in that, Dave. Yeah, I mean, I'm a little surprised with the makeup of the squad. It's too, you know, top heavy in forwards, in my opinion. I'd have perhaps took Gildart from Wigan, for example, who's a centre who can also play on the wing. But Wayne Bennett is right if he's thinking that our forwards look like the area where we can match the best teams in this competition. But we've got to score some tries from somewhere, haven't we? I mean, either from our kicking game, which hasn't been good, or from a bit of imaginative play. And frankly, we've failed in that. We got one try against Australia and only one try in the second half against a, you know, semi-part-time Lebanon side.
What a relief it is to hear McGeoghegan not getting banned.
Yeah, I don't think there was that much in it, though, was there? I mean,
because he's been our best player, to be honest.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's been chewing up the meters, hasn't he? He's been really dangerous. He's scored a couple of tries as well. And I just get the feeling that, you know, without him, we really struggle to get goal forward.
I think Farrah made more of it than what was there, because he actually put his forearm in through his mouth.
Yeah, just sort of, there you go, lad.
Look,
chomp on that.
Yeah.
If you played against Robbie Farrah, you'd be tempted to bite him, wouldn't you?
He's a right now
and gouge him and stamp
he?
On him and stuff like that. Yeah, look, I agree with you, David. There was nothing much in it. He was always going to get off with that. By the way, Farrah neither turned up nor sent any written representation to the hearing. So once that happened, I think it was always going to be that McGilvray, who did appear by video link from the England camp, it was always going to be that he was going to get no ban.
Those type of offences, though, I mean, they're always difficult to prove anyway, aren't they, at the best of times? I mean, we've seen him down there. It's like every time there's a gouging incident or something where somebody says, you know, like, he's done me there, and very few of them get...
Well, if you look at the footage, McGilvray had his mouth open anyway. He's got a gum shield in it, and Farrah shoved his forearm right into it.
Yeah, there was nothing in it. He's off with it. We're glad he's off with it. He's been England's best player.
Yes.
I think when you're wingers, your best player, by the way, and you've only scored about four tries in total in the tournament, that says a bit of something that something's lacking. But I don't want to take anything away from Jermaine McGilvray, who I've always been a fan of, and he's been a real winner for us in this tournament.
Been a lot of shouts out for Chris Percival to be involved, so it's good to see him getting the run out against France.
Yeah, I'm really pleased for him, actually.
Not Chris Percival, Mark Percival.
Mark Percival. I'm really pleased for Mark because he's been exemplary, really, at St. Helens this season. Mm. OK, there might be a few errors in his game, John, but, you know, the man's dynamic. He can create something from nothing.
Well, look, we've been going with John Bateman. I think even John Bateman's best friends will tell you that he's a forward rather than a centre. It's a different thing playing in the centre as well. You've got to defend differently. I think what Wayne Bennett had in mind is that you get a lot of solidity and maybe error-free rugby from John Bateman. Actually, I think defensively, once or twice, he's kind of not been singing from the same hymn sheets as the people around him in this tournament, hasn't he? Because he's defending in a different place. I don't doubt for a second that John Bateman's can tackle, and he's certainly brave. We all know that. He's known for his combativeness. But there was a try against Australia and one of the Lebanon tries where I just thought John Bateman wasn't quite at the races in terms of what he was doing positionally. So Mark Percival's going to play against France. He's a genuine centre. I think Wayne Bennett worries that there might be one or two errors in him. You've got to have a word with him and say, look Mark, this is test match rugby, you know, we need to cut out the errors, but he can win you the game, can't he?
And
at some point England are going to have to score some tries.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
I thought I was talking about all the action in week two. I'm hungry now.
Really?
Fancy some chips and gravy.
Again?
Yeah.
You've already had one lot.
No, I want to try the ones they're advertising in Australia.
They're only available in Australia. You're going to have to get a
large
flight
chips
over.
And gravy, $2.50. Can't get it out of my head, man.
What about the ones they've been advertising over in Papua New Guinea, though? They've been advertising something different,
what,
haven't
lizards?
They?
I don't know what.
Kentucky Fried Lizards.
Yeah. It's Papua New Guinea, they eat anything, don't they?
I don't know. You can't say that.
They might have.
I've got to edit this out now.
Listen, there's guys in that crowd stood there with spears, so who knows what goes on in Papua New Guinea.
You are, of course, listening to the loverugbyleague.com podcast.
We're not just any podcast, it is the Rugby League World Cup podcast.
The Rugby League World Cup Final podcast, Hooter, yeah. And, you know, we're delighted once again to be joined by John here.
Thanks to Radio General for letting us use, we say this every podcast, don't we?
Well, you do.
For letting us use the equipment to make me and you sound professional.
Yeah, we nearly get there.
Going to take more than good equipment, lads, and I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, you could probably say that about England's chances in the World Cup then.
Thanks, John.
No worries. I'm including me in that as well.
Oh, really?
We mentioned the results of week two. Fixtures for week three, please, Parky.
Okay, fixtures for week three. It all starts off this coming Friday. It's Fiji against Italy.
Wait.
Then on Saturday, it's New Zealand against Tonga. That'll be a bruiser. Samoa take on Scotland. That'll be bruising for Scotland. And Australia taking on Lebanon.
Intriguing one. New Zealand versus Tonga, just because of all the New Zealand players that should have been in the New Zealand squad playing for Tonga.
Yeah, and
be interesting.
There is a number of them, isn't there?
There's going to be some score settled there, I think.
It could be a really good game, that, actually. Action switches over to Sunday. We've got three games on the Sunday. Papua New Guinea against the US of A. Ireland take on Wales. And, of course, it's England against France from the Perth Rectangular Stadium.
Why is it called the Rectangular Stadium?
Because most of them are ovals, aren't they, in Australia, right, around that
way?
Oh,
it is a rectangular shape, is that what it is?
Well, I'm guessing so.
Well, it's the Melbourne Rectangular Stadium as well. I think it's a sponsorship thing, lads, to be honest with you.
You reckon?
I think it's a sponsorship thing.
Oh, right, okay. I'm going to have a look after.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be very hot in Perth, by the way, I'm told. I believe the weather's up in the 30s there and is set to stay that way perhaps to the weekend. And funnily enough, I think England would prefer that in terms of being able to play some rugby against France. It's obviously, it doesn't matter, there's no advantage to it from either side, and France Northern Hemisphere side as well. But I think England, rather than the wet conditions they had against the Lebanon, will relish the chance to get some combinations going better in the sun.
Sounds like the same weather forecast for Whitehaven, that.
Really?
Yeah.
Which, when have you read that report? I've read it been 30 degrees Fahrenheit in Whitehaven. I don't know about 30 degrees centigrade. Nothing against our friends from Cumbria, by the way.
No.
Absolutely nothing about it. What else do we make of these fixtures this weekend? Fiji against Italy.
It's all to play for, isn't it?
You've got a fancy Fiji, haven't you? But Italy have got some NRL experience in that, and, you know, that isn't a walkover that some people might think. I do fancy Fiji. And I think the game... Oops, I'm just dropping something here.
The game
potentially matters. If Italy absolutely smash Fiji, which won't happen in all probability, they could actually overtake them in the group, couldn't they? But it looks like Fiji are going through from that group, doesn't it? And I fancy them to win. What do you reckon, Adrian?
Yeah, totally agree.
Okay, Samoa and Scotland. What are the Scots going to
well,
be like
after Scotland
this week?
Well, can Scotland put their off-field problems behind them and actually claim a victory?
So we've had Danny Brough. We've had, help me out here, fellas. Who were the
Johnny
other?
Walker.
Johnny Walker, and who was the third lad?
He'll be hoping we forget his
That's
name.
We have done.
But listen, you just said, you know, let's hope Scotland can get a win. They're through to the quarterfinals if they win.
Yes.
This is actually Anything a knockout game, for. This. This is a knockout game. The winner of this game stays in the competition. The loser goes home. Now, nothing in Scotland's form is telling us, is it, that Scotland are going to win this game. But Samoa have been beaten by New Zealand and Tonga also. Why? Not by the margin that Scotland have lost. But this is a one-off game. And Scotland are in the quarterfinals. Miraculous though it may seem, because of the format of the competition, Scotland are in the quarterfinals if they win this game. I'd like to see them put up a better show.
I think if Scotland are going to do anything, it's going to be reliant on the form of Danny Addy, isn't it?
Yes.
Who, again, despite everything around him going wrong, he's been pretty solid on his own, hasn't he?
Yeah, so I've always liked Danny Addy. He's a good, solid performer, isn't he? He always brings something to the game.
Very versatile as well. I mean, he's the only guy I know who can play, what, second row, stand-off, loose forward, half back, hooker.
Prop.
Yeah, he'll probably do a job there. He'll be a fullback this week, won't he?
Just thinking about what you said about Scotland, am I right then in thinking, despite Wales' problems on the field, if they beat Ireland, they could probably make it? Am I wrong?
No, they can't make it. No. They are out.
Ireland have got the chance.
Only the top side goes through in that group. And PNG, with all due respect to the USA, are going to win that game, aren't they? And they're going to top the group and play England, in all probability.
Oh, so Ireland and Wales are both out?
Well, barring a miracle in USA beating PNG, Ireland and Wales are both out. Yeah. Well, Wales are out. You can forget them. Ireland need PNG to fail against USA.
Against America,
and they're not going to, are they?
No. Based on the current form.
And again, you know, looking at some of these squads that are getting named, it's just stars galore, isn't it, across some of these teams?
It is, isn't it?
Really impressive. Really impressive. Loving this World Cup, by the way. So other than what we've sort of seen off the field, I suppose, with crowds not being there, have you enjoyed the action so far?
I have, yeah.
Despite some of the one-sided nature of the games?
That's inevitable, isn't it? Every Rugby League World Cup has those games, and we just have to put our hands up and say that's the nature of the beast, isn't it? We've seen some good rugby in those games. Some of the tries that have been scored, albeit, you know, in one-sided contests, have been some fantastic rugby played. I'll be interested to see this week if Wales can raise the game against Ireland. All the players are going to know each other, aren't they? Ireland look, on the evidence so far, much the stronger, but Wales have had two, you know, pretty difficult opponents to play. Can Wales raise the game and show a bit of pride this week and give Ireland a game, or maybe even beat them? Ireland looks stronger. Can Wales give them a shout?
I noticed that game's taking place at the Perth Rectangular Stadium as well, so it's a double header. These double headers,
aren't
they?
Like the double headers.
Yeah. But there was something that you were saying, Adrian, before, which was regarding the scheduling of these games, because they're playing a lot of weekends, aren't they, in this World Cup?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Whereas, you know, we lived the dream, didn't we, during the last World Cup? We were Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I think.
In the group stages, certainly.
Yeah.
And then it reverted to weekends for the knockout stages.
I think, you know, the dog bit me when I got home because he didn't recognise me because I was out all that time.
Yeah, without a doubt. It certainly has been a different format. They obviously felt that's the way forward.
Have you seen that change for life? It's all about small changes we can all make to be healthier, like trying to cut back fat. There can be a lot of hidden fat in our food, so for starters we just need to check labels and go for low-fat options. Simple. And take a bacon butty. That can be made healthier just by trimming the fat and grilling it rather than frying. Easy. That way we're cutting fat and reducing the risk of heart disease or stroke. It's easy to be food smart. For more ideas to help you and your family cut back fat, search Change for Life online.
Yes, so welcome back to the final hooter here on Radio General, of course, and via loverugbyleague.com. We were just sort of chatting a little bit there, weren't we, about games that we're looking forward to.
I've set my alarm. 4 o'clock in the morning, I'll be there.
4 o'clock in the morning. That's
Saturday. New Zealand, Tonga.
Saturday, 4 o'clock.
Yes.
Yeah, don't set it on Sunday.
No, you'll miss it on Sunday, but 4 o'clock I'll be up ready. To watch it.
I'm actually really looking forward to Papua New Guinea again. They've been my pick all the
are they
way
your
favourite
team?
Oh,
I think they're everyone's favourite team, aren't they?
I love the way they play. It's just so physical, isn't it? There's something 70s about the way they play.
It's just a shame they don't play enough international rugby league, though, isn't it?
Well, that can change, though, can't it? I mean, they've got to get something going now, haven't they? Which
they certainly
on
have.
A more regular
we say
basis.
Every time, though, don't they? I mean, I know we have a four nations for England, New Zealand, Australia, then one other team. Maybe they should have like a tri-nation series with Tonga, Samoa, Papua New Guinea.
I think one of the things that Papua New Guinea have showed, which perhaps in previous incarnations they haven't, is a bit of organisation this time, isn't it? They've always been super willing, as you say, super physical, super willing. They've got quite a lot of players playing in the NRL, and they've also got the PNG Hunters playing in that division, that tier below the NRL, haven't they?
Yeah, there's so, about eight players, I think, that have been picked from that.
So they look like a well-coached, well-drilled team. I'm sure that's part of the setup where they are now, but that'll also come from what they're doing at club level, won't it? And so defensively, they look a lot more organised than Papua New Guinea teams we've seen in the past, and they've not conceded many points at all in this tournament so far, haven't they? So that's something England are going to have to break down in the quarterfinals in all probability, isn't it? Because England so far haven't really hit the straps on attack. Papua New Guinea's defence has been solid. It's not going to be easy for England, whatever they... Well, the game's going to be played in Melbourne, isn't it? Which will suit England more than PNG, or it'll suit England more than Port Moresby would. But it's not going to be easy for England to break that PNG defence down because it looks well-drilled.
Mm. Just looking ahead to New Zealand and Tonga, do you think Tonga could actually beat New Zealand?
You know
Can
what?
They do it?
You know what? I think they might be able to if they get the game right.
That'd be a result and a half, aren't it?
There's going to be some passion in that game, isn't there? Because we all know what's gone on with players defecting from New Zealand to Tonga. Jason Taumalolo being the most high profile of those, one of the best players in the world, one of the most highest played players in the world, played for New Zealand, has now gone back to Tonga. I think that's terrific for the tournament, by the way, but New Zealand won't take that lying down, and he'll get some treatments, I think, if he plays this weekend for Tonga against New Zealand, and that's a game that's full of passion. And there's something on it as well, because although they've both qualified, I think there are some advantages from qualifying in second place in that group, or higher up that group, than taking the lower place. So yeah, it's going to be interesting.
You mentioned Taumalolo, and how good has he been in this tournament? I mean, again, just fantastic. It's every time he runs the ball and he's making 10, 12 metres, isn't it?
I suspect the reason he can play for Tonga is because he's earning that much money now in the NRL. He's on a huge contract, isn't he, at North Queensland Cowboys?
Yeah, a million a season, I think, isn't it?
So he's on. So he probably thinks, well, I'm just guessing here, I'm not in his head, obviously, but maybe he thinks, you know what, I know what, I won't get as much money from playing for Tonga rather than New Zealand, but that's what I want to do, and I can afford to do it, so I'm going to do it. So more power to his elbow, and that's going to be interesting.
My favourite player is David Clemmer. I think he's been brilliant.
Oh, he's massive, isn't he? You're really struggling to stop him. It's like a brick wall running at you, isn't it?
I wonder if Wayne Bennett's already thinking of a plan to stop him.
Has he got grandparent rules? Can we switch him to England? Maybe that's the only thing.
Mid-tournament, that's what we need, yeah. We need to do some
a
ancestry
switch.
We need to get, who do you think you are over there?
Yeah.
Do some ancestry searches on some of these Aussies and get them to switch mid-tournament. Pay them whatever they want. Pay them whatever they want. Cooper Cronk, I mean, there's got to be someone's English. His name's Cooper, for God's sake. There's got to be some.
He'd solve
our
half-back problem then straight away.
He would solve our half-back problem.
England's best hope. Get some of them Aussies playing for England.
Excellent.
We're playing France. What do you think is going to be a success for us? A big win? Got to be a big win, hasn't it?
I think that they've got to look for a pile of points, haven't they? Yeah. You know, 40 plus points.
Yeah, look. France are not a good side, are they? They've already been beaten by Lebanon, thrashed by Australia. I'm sure some of those lads who are coming into the side, who haven't played a game yet, will want to prove a point, won't they? At least want to say to Wayne Bennett, I know he seems like quite a stubborn man who knows his own mind, but they'll want to say, hey, look, I'm going to do everything I can to put my hand up and say to you, I'm the man for the quarterfinals. So I'm expecting a full-on effort from England. I'm not expecting them to go there and just think, well, it doesn't matter if we only win by a few. Those players who are looking for quarterfinal spots will want to play well.
It is the last group games. It's all to play for because we're in the knockout stages in week four.
Let's hope that we get what we all desire and we can come back again and have a good chat about it next week.
It's chips and gravy.
Chips and gravy. Chips and gravy is just going to be the nickname of this podcast, isn't it?
Yes.